You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
Old technology, ancient technology, and new technologies is something that we need to know more about because it's all speeding up. And so you can see systems around us are just getting hacked. Very often when we work with clients, we say, hack or be hacked.
Welcome to the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at the DevOps Institute. When we think about hacking, we immediately assume it's about the act of identifying and then exploiting weaknesses in a computer system or network, usually to gain unauthorized access to personnel or organizational data. But mind hacking? Have you ever heard of that? Well, I have not. But today, we will learn about what a mind hacker is and more. Today, we have with us Patricia Slavuta, founder of Unlab and Self-Hackathon, entrepreneur and mind hacker. Patricia is Australia-based, New York City-educated, and Poland-born researcher, entrepreneur, and mind hacker. She is a connoisseur of complexity, non-linearity, and messiness of the human nature. Behavioral scientist by training, nerdy science and its application is her passion and work. After spending 10 plus years in academia, Patricia founded Self-Hackathon, a New York City-based global boutique behavioral consultancy of scientists, and we'll hear more about that in a minute. Patricia believes the human mind is the world's most untapped natural resource. She actually has that in her signature, in her email. As such, her mission is to give people and organizations clear frameworks and practical tools to meaningfully and efficiently mine their own minds in order to find purpose, clarity, and alignment. In her free time, which she has actually, she has actually run marathons, 28 so far, and she reads audiobooks and meditates. Welcome to our podcast, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are excited to have you here. I am excited to speak to you because I've watched you on TED Talk. And have been trying to get into that activity you have done just recently, but I had to be there in person, which I wasn't able to travel. So I'm excited to have you with us. Now, just quickly for your information, our listeners are a variety of folks in IT, leaders, individual contributors, DevOps, testers, developers, infrastructure operations folks, cloud people, all kinds of, I would say, nerds, but that's a compliment, not a derogatory in any kind, in any type. I want you to tell them a little bit about Unlab and Self-Hackathon.
Sure. So Self-Hackathon, both Self-Hackathon and Unlab, the main idea is that we can actually hack and rewire and upgrade ourselves. It all started about 10 years ago when I was writing my PhD thesis on shame. And my ex-husband actually came home and he said, you know so much about shame. Why don't you teach it? And I said, well, I don't think anybody wants to learn about shame. It's such an obscured, weird topic that especially people in New York City that are so focused on, hustle and building their businesses want to know about. And he said, well, why don't you just try? And I put a little ad on Facebook actually back in the day, and I said, and I called it Shameless Summer. And it was really the idea was to how do we break down the science of shame so that people can understand it. And it turned out that the event sold out within 2 hours, and I had I think 25 amazing human beings in my apartment in New York City, and people were coming for more and saying, well, why don't you explain this topic and that topic, topics, basic human topics like fear and uncertainty. And it turns out that even though we use it on everyday basis, those are very complex psychological phenomena. How do you deal with uncertainty? How do you deal with betrayal? How do you deal with risk? What is loyalty? Group dynamics. And so it turned out that actually there was a great need to take things out of science. That's why I call it Unlab, the company that's based here in Australia. We take it out of lab and we bring it into life and we break it down into small chunks. Now, Self-Hackathon, the interesting thing about it, and we talked about hacking, I was living in Silicon Valley and working in Silicon Valley with a lot of programmers and a lot of nerds. And you know, when they think about psychology, they think it's this boring, weird topic that, you know, you go on a couch at a shrink's office and, you know, and you say, oh, how does it make you feel? Which is part of the therapy, but there's that much more to psychology than just that, than clinical psychology. And so the idea was that, you know, programmers program us, they create tools, but who programmed them? And that was really the idea, that we actually programmable technology. We are probably the oldest technology, one of the oldest technologies. We are 300,000 years as Homo sapiens sapiens, which means one that knows, and we interact with new technologies, and that being metaverse, that being all kinds of new things, that, you know, that interaction, I find that interaction absolutely fascinating. And this is really where psych tech, the term, comes from. And that's kind of space that we explore, because I think that interaction, old technology, ancient technology, and new technologies is something that we need to know more about, because it's all speeding up. And so you can see systems around us are just getting hacked. And that includes our own system. We are constantly hacked. And so my bottom line, very often when, you know, we work with clients, we say hack or be hacked. Back in the day, it used to be know thyself. Now I would say it's hack thyself, because if you don't, somebody else will. And there's entire industries that are built around hacking us and our vulnerabilities, if you wish, just as humans, yeah, that we have as humans.
Love that, hack thyself. So how did you get into the field of behavior scientists?
Well, behavior science, I would say, is a simplified version of psychology. I'm actually an experimental social psychologist, but if you tell that to people, they freak out. And so the field that people are used to, the interface that most people are used to dealing with, is behavior science. And so I say behavior science. However, my field is way wider than that. You know, I specialize in a way in the complexity and messiness and nonlinearity of the human experience, individual, and then, you know, we already complex as individual. Now multiply that by two in a couple, or multiply that by four in a family, or multiply that by 100 or 1,000 in a company, and you get a very, very complex system. And I find those systems absolutely and utterly fascinating, how they work, how we hack each other, how we can influence each other, how our behavior changes in group dynamics, you know, how can we be one person, one circumstance, and then completely different person, different circumstance. So that really is my field. The simplified version is behavior science, because that's what people actually understand. So the science of human behavior.
Mm-hmm. We do research every year on skills, particularly in IT. So in our 2023, we found that human skills actually ranked as the third must-have skill category. We have these categories of process skills and technology skills and et cetera. So human skills was behind process and framework and technical, but as third. We also know that there are huge skill gaps, and you know that. I don't have to tell you. It's not surprising to you. I was doing some research, of course, on my own, looking for, you know, some smart questions to ask you. And you did an event, I think, November 17, 22, by Florence Guild, I think it was orchestrated. And you said, or in the event, it said, the ability to connect deeply, rapidly, and authentically with others is also a hallmark of great leaders and one of the most important business skills in our current post-pandemic world. This actually gets me to your TED Talk, which is how I found you, on hacking humanity, which I was absolutely inspired by. And I tried to get you into our London event. I'm sorry that didn't work out, because I thought that would have been fantastic, but it really inspired me, and I was watching it. And anybody who is listening in, go look for her Hacking Humanity TED Talk. It's fantastic. But when you say, for those who might not want to go there because they're so busy, when you say hacking humanity, what did you mean when you say that? What do you mean? Tell us a little bit more about that, because I found it intriguing, but your words are so much more powerful and you can explain it so much better than I can.
Well, that was 5 years ago. So back in the day, 5 years ago, now I think it's even multiplied and it's happening stronger and deeper and faster. The idea was that our systems were being hacked on many levels. Our human systems were being hacked by technology. The idea was that actually every single event that we have creates an opportunity for us to upgrade or downgrade, if you wish. And the choice whether what happens is really up to us. And I think now after COVID, this is actually even more pressing, whether we're going to downgrade and we'll turn into kind of against each other. And, you know, it's all about me. Or are we going to connect up in a way and create something that's meaningful? Now, hacking humanity, the idea was that actually at any point we can hack, rewire, and upgrade ourselves. And every single event that happens is an opportunity to do that. As I said, we are 300,000-year-old technology that's, you know, throughout ages has been kind of upgrading, if you wish. You know, we've been collaborating more. We've been creating more, et cetera, et cetera. And every single big event in humanity creates opportunity to kind of upgrade. Now, we had had many, many, many downgrades, and that includes many wars that we have had, genocides and things as such. You can think of yourself as a code, and I see us as a code. So your brain is a code. It has very simple function. Every single neuron has zero or one. And so multiply that by 100 billion neurons, 100 trillion synaptic connections, and you get consciousness. But all in all, it's a very simple system. It's like a system of dams. It's either on or off. Your DNA is also a code. It's we call it code of life, ACTG. So those are the four letters of life that create all of life. Now, that's also hackable, and that's also upgradable. And we know that from epigenetics. We know that things get transmuted through generations, and there is no dispute over that. And our behavior is a code as well. And, you know, as a behavior scientist, I can write down your behavior, and it's actually not that complicated. It's stimulus, response, and reward. We do things because we want some type of reward, or we don't want some kind of punishment. And so the idea was, can we as humanity kind of understand how we're being hacked, hack ourselves, and actually kind of upgrade ourselves? And I think now after COVID, we actually have ability to do that because things slow down. And there are, you know, one of your questions is, you know, these scary times and exciting times. And I think those are precisely the times that actually require us to stop and reflect, because this is where wisdom comes from. And I think this is where upgrade will come from. It is about practice. It is about tools. And most importantly, it really is about awareness of how we function. And that's why I find those times so absolutely exciting and an amazing opportunity to actually change, redefine how things are being done and how are we with ourselves. Because I think, you know, a lot of people are reflecting, and after COVID, you know, there's a quiet quitting. There's a whole bunch of things that are happening. And I don't think they're happening just like that. You know, the burnout is happening. And This is actually my newest TED Talk that I gave 2 weeks ago. And it's not out just yet, but it will be out soon. We want certainty. And we look around and we see the world radicalizing. We feel burnout when we look around and we see the world burning. We get frustrated. We look around and we see conflict around us. And so that connection of what happens inside and what we actually is being reflected ourselves is a fascinating one. And I think looking around and seeing what's going on, we actually have an amazing opportunity to upgrade right now.
Are you looking to get DevOps certified? Demonstrate your DevOps knowledge and advance your career with a certification from DevOps Institute. Get certified in DevOps Leader, SRE, or DevSecOps, just to name a few. Learn anywhere, anytime. The choice is yours. Choose to get certified through our vast partner network, self-study programs, or our new SkillUp e-learning videos. The exams are developed in collaboration with industry thought leaders and subject matter experts in the DevOps space. Learn more at devopsinstitute.com/certifications.
Upgrading sounds very attractive. I am going to look for your next TED Talk, of course, but one other question. I remember you were talking about in this hacking humanity, heart, head, and body. Can you elaborate a little bit on that and be a little bit more specific? If I want to upgrade my head, my heart, and my body, I think, I'm, you know, trying to do that. But heart and head is something which is, I think, to our listeners and to myself, very important. And I'd love to hear more about it.
Sure. So as I said, you know, we work as psychologists, work with technology that has 300,000 years. And this technology has evolved over that time and has certain rules and has certain schemes and certain system that it runs on. And so I think of this as a back. So you have the front-facing kind of software.
Systems of engagement, we call them.
That's exactly right. And then there's the front end and there's the back end, right? The front end is the things that I see. This is, you know, cordial conversation we're having right now. But you don't really know what's going on in my back end, right? There's a whole bunch of things that are happening, computation stuff that is happening. Now, for most of the people, that runs in the background. What we have done, talking about human operating system, is the system that actually has 300,000 years and it has four parts. And those are four big branches of psychology. So the head is the software, right? This is our thoughts. This is our assumptions that we have about the world. How should this conversation look like? This is our biases. This is, you know, how I evolved as a child growing up in Poland, moving to New York City, and all those assumptions, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a woman in business, you know, what it means to be a mother, and things as such. So our assumptions and expectations about the world. And those very often are a great source of our pain because, you know, things don't look as we want it to. People disagree with us and we know we are absolutely right. We want to know what is the truth, or we know what the truth is, but, you know, all those idiots around us disagree. So this is really the software. So this is the head. Then the second part is the heart. And this is system one versus system two, as Kahneman and Tversky would call it. Those are our emotions and motivations. And this is how we really make decisions, right? This is what our heart yearns for, what our dreams and desires are. But this is also what keeps us at night when we wake up at 3 a.m, if some of us do, right? With the spinning thoughts and thinking, oh my God, what is it going to be? And so this is really the heart. This is the space of emotions, motivations, what motivates us, what we don't want, what our biggest fears that we're not even willing to admit to ourselves. It's a fascinating space because this is, you know, in my research, this is where the otherness comes from. This is where secrets lie. This is where, you know, when conversations that should be have don't happen because we're afraid of what's going to happen and things as such. Then the third part is actually the hardware, so think of the heart as the electricity that jolts the entire system into action, either move towards or move away from. The third part is actually the hardware, which is the body. The body is ultimately the hardware. I think what COVID has showed us is actually we're not only the brain, but we actually have a body. The body is very important because it affects everything else. It's a gigantic communication antenna, not only to others, but also to ourselves. How we stand, how our body is actually very deeply informs our thought patterns, affects our mood. Others react to our bodies. Others can read our bodies, probably very often better than we can. Our nervousness, anxiety, anger shows in our body. And, you know, even though we can say, no, I'm perfectly fine, others can read that. And so it's a fascinating tool that we can work with. And from my perspective, I actually think our breath is the most portable mind hacking tool that we have. Our ability to control, manipulate, withhold our breath is a fantastic capacity that we have as one of few species in the world. So that's the third piece, is really working with the body. And there's heaps of research about embodied cognition that goes, you know, books written about it. And that is really the field that's blossoming right now in my field in behavioral science. And then the fourth piece is our network. Is ultimately we are hardwired to be social. We grow up in social environment. We need others, and others need us. And that beautiful network of human to human connection is actually what nourishes us. And so my newest TED talk talks about distributed immune system. So it turns out that our immune system is not only internal, but it's also distributed. Others are number one source of happiness, one of the major sources of health, but also they deeply affect our immune system. And so that is fascinating how actually our relationship to others directly affect our health and functioning of an immune system. And that's called psychoneuroimmunology. And it's a fantastic field of study that is connecting everything with everything, but it's very, very cool. And so those four pieces, pretty much every skill that you want to learn has to go through those four layers, if you wish, of stacking. So there's the mind, very often we make a decision to do something, we get excited about something, but we never follow through, right? Because the heart is not there. We don't know where to start. So the hand is not there. We don't have the discipline. And ultimately, we don't have the social support. So very often, decisions are made. People go to an inspirational event, that they come back to the network, and the network pulls us back into the old self, right? So I go back home, and suddenly I can see the old forces working on me. You know, my mom's saying something that I react to as if I was 7 and not 37 or whatever. And so those are the four elements that we work with. And they're very, very nice, because it's a very nice framework that you can hang any skill set off.
So where do I start? Let me ask you exactly this question. We're going a little bit off script, but as you know, we're a community. We're trying to help people to learn new skills, new behavior, and the community, as you said, is the network, right? The head, the heart. We at the DevOps Institute sometimes feel like that we're working on one end where we're trying to get their head into the game, but if their heart is not in the game. So if I'm an individual and I'm sitting out there right now, it's the end of the year, as we have New Year's resolutions, we all are trying to, right, do something. So what would your advice be for somebody who says, hey, 2023 is going to be my year of success, and I will do X. Where do I start? Do I start with the head, the heart, the body?
That's the thing. You start with everywhere. All of them. They actually need to stack up, because one will reinforce the other. And so, first of all, it's the reflection awareness. You know, your awareness is the most scarce resource in the world. By far, as you probably know, there are entire industries that do attention merchanting, attention selling. Our attention is such a valuable resource right now that companies feed off it. And so, first of all, do you own your attention? Can we reflect on the year? I would actually start with reflecting on the year. Like, what do I actually want? And I think what COVID has caused is a lot of people change the priorities in their life, because it turns out, it's not necessarily doing the work, but it's like, why am I doing this? And because things slowed down during COVID, a lot of people actually had time to slow down and actually reflect. And a lot of those reflections, unfortunately, show that, oh my God, what I'm doing is actually ain't not making me happy. Why am I even doing that? I understand I'm making money, but meantime, I'm missing how my children are growing up, or I'm a stranger to my partner, or
Did you
really
read my diary?
Yes. You will be surprised how common this is for so many people. And so, I actually find it fascinating, because I actually do think that the human mind is the most untapped natural resource. And so we need to dig into those deeper and start using a full brain. But then second of all, like, bring the heart into it. The things that people are willing to do because the heart is aligned is absolutely fascinating. This is where resilience lives. This is where creativity lives. This is when innovation lives. And so, and it's not only inspiration, but it's also things that frustrate us. I mean, the amount of amazing things that started in the world because somebody said, enough with that. We can do better than this. I understand this is how things used to be, but I don't want it anymore. And so, positivity is fantastic, but actually being pissed off with the status quo is, I applaud that, because I've seen people do amazing things just by saying, that's it. I think we can do different and we can do better.
So reflect.
So sorry, to answer your question.
Reflect, bring the heart in. So feel, so reflect what has happened. Then bring my heart in and feel, does this make me happy? Or am I pissed? And what do I want to change? Okay, so I'm there. I'm with you. What's next then?
And then you do the smallest thing possible. There is a really good book that I recommend to everybody. And I'm sure you've read it. It's called Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. But it's the smallest thing possible that you can do. Because what it does is creates this self-auto loop and cognitive dissonance in which, you start doing and then doing and doing. And then eventually the little habits become little runs that I used to do, become I am a runner and becomes identity. And you want to go to the identity of it because it's the bottom of the stack. You start at the top of the stack, which is a small action I can do, send a newsletter, do something, speak up, whatever it is, put up the website. Honestly, the amount of websites that, and the amount of people I say, that put out the website, they try to make it perfect. Done is always better than perfect by far. And so the smallest thing possible, literally go for a run around the block, 5 minutes. You know, I had the same thing with meditation. I mean, I am diagnosed with ADHD, so meditation is absolutely excruciating to me, but I keep hearing how good meditation is for you. And so I started with 3 minute meditation because that's all my brain could handle. And I remember even during those 3 minutes, I would had a pen and paper next to me because I would get all those ideas. And then I would open my eyes and write things down, which was fine. And fast forward, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years, I've been sitting in, 10-day silent Vipassana retreats. Not to say that this is, amazing and I loved it, but those things stack up. And I think Warren Buffett said that the most unappreciated law in investing, and I would say in psychology, is compound interest. Those little tiny things are compounding. And that's what we actually, for our brain, is very hard to notice that, right? Like, we want big change tomorrow. Yeah. And that big change tomorrow just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I want to be fit tomorrow. I want to be immediately running 10 kilometers. Yes, absolutely. I want to be a DevOps engineer tomorrow. So awesome. So,
and then the final piece. And the final piece is the network. And I think finding people that would cheer on us or people that we can learn from. It's absolutely fascinating to see how willing people are to help. Very often we're afraid to ask for help. And not only that, they cheer on us. And what I always very often do at the beginning of the year, because I know we're moving into beginning of the year, or it is already beginning of the year when you're listening to this, share the vision of where you want to go with the people that you respect and you care about, and ask them to hold that vision for you so that they interact with you from that perspective. You're already there. In other words, they don't get you off the hook, but they treat you already as a person who's a runner, who's a ops developer, who's this, who has written a book or whatever it is. They create almost this future self that you can step into and interact with you from that perspective. And that is such a strong pull forward. Because we do things because we kind of don't want to disappoint others. We like to the social approval. And so this is kind of hacking the social approval from so that it works in our favor.
You are wicked good. Oh my God. I could listen and talk to you another many, many, many minutes, but I want to leave it right there because I think you gave us fantastic advice for the next year. This has been fantastic, Patricia. I really, really love it. What else do you do besides behavioral scientists when you go for, besides running a marathon? What do you do for fun on the weekend?
Me? Well, I just moved to Australia after 13 years in New York City. So I'm trying to learn how to swim properly. And so I've been exploring swimming, which is a very different modality for me. I'm a very grounded person. I like to be on the earth, and running is my connection. Running is my meditation. I always say running is my prayer as well. This is how I pray. This is how I give my thanks in a way. And swimming is a completely different modality. And I, it's completely out of my comfort zone. It's hard. I'm a bad swimmer because I grew up in Poland. On the Great Plains, there was no water. And if you go into the Baltic Sea, it's even worse. You don't want to swim in this thing. And so, I'm eating a humble pie and I swim, and all those kids next to me, because they grew up by the water, they all swim like fish, and I'm like splashing. But it's a changing modality is very interesting. So I'm seeing myself learn again.
Wow. What a challenge. Fantastic. Thank you very, very much. We've been talking to Patricia Slavuta. I hope I said your name correctly. Founder of Unlab and Self-Hackathon, entrepreneur and mind hacker. Patricia, thank you so much for your time. I wish you the best, wonderful, wonderful holidays. Enjoy, relax, travel safely wherever you go. I know you love to travel as well. I do as well. I'm traveling, you're traveling, but we go different directions, so we won't cross our paths. But let's stay in touch. And for our listeners, this will be really, really exciting to have more. I'll share with you when the new TED Talk comes out. Again, thanks, Patricia. Humans of DevOps podcast is produced by the DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Julia Papp and Brendan Lay. I am Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer, Evelyn Ehrlich. If you'd like to join us on the podcast, please contact us. Humans of DevOps podcast at devopsinstitute.com. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.